You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Brand Now, How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. Many former On Brand guests are already raving about Brand Now. Jay Baer calls it the quintessential guide to modern branding. Stacey Grissom of BarkBox says Brand Now provides practical tools and a helpful framework for building a brand both online and off. Learn more, get special extras and additional resources at brandnowbook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week, we have not one, but two amazing guests. We have the co-authors of the new book, Talk Triggers, Jay Baer and Daniel Lemon. Jay is the co-founder of Convince and Convert, a strategy consultancy that helps the world's most interesting brands gain and keep more customers. He's a seventh-generation entrepreneur, has started five multi-million dollar companies, and is the author of six books, including Utility and Hug Your Haters. He is a keynote speaker and MC, an angel investor, and an inductee in the Word of Mouth Marketing Association Hall of Fame and the National Speakers Association's CPAE Speaker Hall of Fame. Daniel Lemon is the co-founder of Selectivator, a food intelligence platform that helps people stay healthy through personalized eating. A former communications leader at Google, he is the author of the online reputation guide Manipurated. He has been featured by the New York Times, USA Today, CBS Radio, and Fox News, and speaks at conferences and events worldwide. Daniel, Jay, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, hey.
Thanks. Delighted to be with you, Mr. Nick. I'm also in the Lake Havasu High School Hall of Fame, which is not not one that makes the introduction, unfortunately, go nice. Well,
that is true. You're also one of very few return guests thus far to the On Brand podcast. You. So this is probably right up there with Lake Havasu in terms of bio-worthy information. But
well, I'm staying on brand at least.
Touche.
I'm the only person who is in no Hall of Fames on this call. So.
I was trying to think. I think I may also be Hall of Fame less. But
what if you could be in the On Brand podcast Hall of Fame?
Just start one. Yeah. is the best way to.
And you get like a bust in butter, like a butter bust. I think that's
great. Oh my goodness, that is such an Iowa thing. That how have I not pounced on?
We have actually met. I know it's an Iowa thing, and since we're talking about word of mouth, what would be more talkable than a butter bust of all your guests?
Well,
you can have that one for free.
Good Lord, I know. I'm having you on the podcast, and here I am getting getting great usable advice like the butter bust, and just thinking of all of the innovative companies out there, and you guys, it sent out some very talkable things with Talk Triggers, and I have to think that maybe there's some company that specializes in sending out butter things. If not, maybe they're listening, and they're saying, "Damn it, today's the day. I'm gonna make my butter business."
Nick Westergaard.
Butterbusiness.com TM.
Actually, I think you should call it the Butter Business Bureau.
Oh my God.
That's strong.
You know, if there's something's going to be activated very shortly.
I got to go to GoDaddy. Stop the show.
If we have too many features of this business plan activated, it will have to become an actual thing. Now, we are getting very talkable. Very early. It might be worth noting for some poor, confused guest out there, or listener out there, Why are they? Why is talkability so important? I'll let you two arm wrestle over who wants to give the elevator pitch of the latest greatest book, Talk Triggers.
I'll give the elevator pitch because then Daniel does all the stuff that actually matters. Here's the thing, Nick and listeners. Word of mouth represents between 50 and 91% of all purchases, has an influence on that much, right? So it's a significant driver of business success, regardless of what kind of company you are. Yet it's the only thing in business that's really important that nobody has a strategy for. It's such a conundrum, right? You've got a marketing strategy, a content strategy, social strategy, digital strategy, PR strategy, crisis strategy. You got a desk full of strategies, but the one strategy you do not own is a word of mouth strategy. We just take it for granted. We just assume that our customers will talk about us. But why do we think that's true? Like, what are we giving them to talk about? And typically nothing is the answer. And what we tried to do in this book is create a reliable, viable framework that any company can use to figure out one thing different that they can do in their operations that compels conversations. Talk Triggers is a manual for giving your customers a story to tell.
Wow, that is a well-honed elevator pitch there. And as you were saying all of that, I can't help but think about just everything that I feel like most of us are nodding with, that of the that we don't have a strategy for. And yet, I'm sure it also tops most businesses out there list in terms of what are the most valuable leads? Where are they coming from? Well, word of mouth. And it's just
everybody says that. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense, Nick. Like, every business is like, word of mouth is so important, yet we're just going to take a nap when it comes to actually being, right, you know, proactive about it. We're so laissez-faire about word of mouth. And so what we're trying to do is give people the tools and the platform necessary to do word of mouth on purpose instead of doing word of mouth on accident, which is how everybody is doing it now. And of course, and Daniel can explain this, a talk trigger is the key part of that. Like, you say, okay, well, how do I do word of mouth on purpose? Well, you have to have a talk trigger. That's kind of the fulcrum in the whole operation.
Yep.
I love that. And I think you set Daniel up perfectly, because I think the accident is where the accidental stage of whatever magic is currently happening, the magic beans will sprout and grow, and or maybe they won't, but we can't do anything about it. So how do you engage in word of mouth on purpose?
Well, you can either manage by hope, which is a strategy that a lot of people use, but the best thing to do is really put some intent behind it. And the idea is you want to give your customers or your clients or your stakeholders material to work with. You have to give them a consistent story to tell, or they're going to be all over the map. Some people will identify with one, you know, aspect of your experience, while someone else may identify with another. You have to give them some consistent story to tell. And what we discovered with the brands that are doing this well is they're doing it not with sort of brand elements like logos and icons and mascots, although those can be talkable. They're doing it more at the operations level. There's something they're doing in the delivery of their product or their service that's just a little bit different enough that people notice that thing, and that's the thing they talk about. So lots of examples we can kind of use to illustrate that. Most obvious one, I think, in the book is just easy to see, and it's also very tasty, is DoubleTree Hotels. When you check into the hotel, you get what?
The cookies.
Warm chocolate chip cookie. And everyone gets it every single time they check in, and people talk about the cookie. In fact, about a third, a little over a third of DoubleTree's customers in the research we did talk about that cookie without even being asked, unaided. So yeah, it has a big impact on word of mouth. People like to tell that story because, I mean, you've stayed in one DoubleTree. You've experienced the cookie. It's not exactly, it's not like they're giving you a live panda to use, you know, while you're in the hotel. It's a cookie, but it's different enough that people still talk about it.
It is interesting because I as you were telling the DoubleTree story, I, you know, you relive kind of the word of mouth experiences you've had about a brand. And I'd have to think that with unaided recall, that when people say DoubleTree, you're going to get cookie a lot of the time. And in fact, I'm not sure what else you might jump in there with. But I think your key setup there was that it's not just logos and mascots, that we try to put something else on, some other topping on the sundae versus looking at how the service is delivered. I think the service delivery path seems like one that is ripe for a trigger.
Absolutely. Another great example, actually someone who just posted in the Facebook group for the book. If you buy the book and have read it, we have a sort of a secret private Facebook group for readers. And someone posted just this morning about what he does. He's a contractor. He builds screen enclosures, like in Florida, for those bugs that'll carry you off into the night. Those big things that frighten us all. So he builds those screen enclosures, and when he finishes, he puts a plastic owl on the top of the enclosure to keep pigeons and other birds off the thing. And he does it for everybody. And that's really interesting, because not only is it a useful item, it keeps birds away, but you know, you look around the neighborhood, it's like, wow, clearly this guy's work is kind of spread around the neighborhood. There's owls everywhere. And so for him, that's sort of the talk trigger.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's also one that it's interesting in terms of how people universally don't seem to have much of a strategy for word of mouth, but it's also interesting in that it can be brought to life in businesses of all shapes and sizes, as you just demonstrated, moving from an enormous hotel chain to a relatively small and scrappy business there.
Oh, that's the thing that's interesting about talk triggers in general, is that, you know, it doesn't have to be a big company, and it doesn't have to be something large, and it doesn't have to be a consumer product, right? And it's one of the things we did in the book and in the research. We really worked hard to have examples and case studies that will resonate no matter what kind of business you are. I mean, if you're a small professional services company, right? I learned about this talk trigger. We're giving you all the ones, Nick, that aren't in the book, which I love. These are all ones that we've discovered since the book was written. And that's what's so fun about this, right? People keep coming up to us all the time like, oh, yeah, I got a new one. Have you heard about this one? It's a blast. So this is I learned about this one a few weeks ago. I was giving a presentation in Seattle. And the guy comes up to me after my talk and says, hey, do you have this – do you know about this talk trigger in Seattle? I said, I don't think so. I don't have any stories from Seattle. He said, well, check this out. There's a doctor here in town. I'm like, go on. And he's a surgeon. And I said, go on. And he only does vasectomies. And I said, now I'm interested. And his name is Dr. Snip. Now, that's awesome, right? If you're Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon, you already have a degree of talkability. But that's not the actual talk trigger, Nick. Here's a way that works. Every single patient on the way out the door, in addition to getting their post-operative care instructions, frozen bag of peas, insurance paperwork, etc., each patient is presented in a black box with an engraved silver pocket knife. And on that pocket knife, it says, Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon. So let me paint the scene for you. After your recovery, you're playing golf, or you're on your boat, or you're hanging out watching football with your buddies, and you open a beer, and he's like, bro, that's a sweet knife. Where'd you get it? Where'd I get it? I got this knife from Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon. Now, this is an incredible talk trigger, Nick, because if you've had a vasectomy procedure, who is likely to need a vasectomy procedure? Your friends, who are all probably about the same age and probably have about the same attitude towards having more kids as you do.
that is especially funny and a great trigger. Now I'm going to ask the dense question here. The man's name cannot actually be Snip, is it?
I believe that is a stage name.
It's a stage name.
It's sort of in the same way that Cinnamon is often a stage name.
Right. Okay. Because then he would really have found a calling if.
I think he had no choice if that was.
If he was born with the name Ted Snip, then.
Yes, exactly. That's what we call destiny, which is a different book entirely.
It is. But no, I love that, and I love the different types of. Of businesses, and again, the hospitality examples are sort of the ones that are maybe most immediately top of mind for people, but also different industries as well, where sometimes we get hung up and think, you know, nothing cool can happen here. But you talk about a favorite brand of mine, and staying in the Pacific Northwest, Umpqua Bank, I think has really. Done a great job in the financial services sector of kind of calling out calling into question what a bank can really be, because I think a lot of times that's an industry where we think, no, it's just this, it's the counter, it's where you get your checks from, that's it.
They have an example of what we call talkable responsiveness. Talkable speed, where in every branch, and yes, there are still bank branches out there in the world. Umpqua has 400 and something, I think is the number. In every bank branch, they have like an old timey kind of silver semi-Victorian looking phone. And next to that phone, they have a little poster or a card. It varies a little bit from branch to branch. But what's important is that they have a list of phone numbers, and it's like a speed dial, right? So if you press 5, this happens, da da da. Well, in each branch, if you press 6, the number 6, it goes directly to the bank president. Now, not to the president of the branch in which you are standing, to the president of the entire Umpqua Corporation, which is one of the top couple dozen largest banks in the country. Wow. Now, they get a few calls every week, and almost invariably it's somebody who says, oh, I thought this was fake, and like hangs up immediately, because they're like, holy shit, this actually works, this is real, and it freaks people out. So it's not so much that people use this hotline, like, hey, I'd like to lodge a complaint, but it speaks volumes to their character and their commitment to customer experience and sort of the DNA of the organization, that you could actually get in touch with somebody at that level of authority without, you know, sending a letter or a telegram or waiting on hold or, you know, hearing back from somebody in 2 months. It's pretty special.
That's amazing, and I love that there's the people that didn't actually have anything to say that just wanted to test the trigger, as it were. You also what I think is interesting about everything is not only the research that goes into it that reinforces all of these assumptions in what's kind of essentially a category that we've left up to chance and magic. But all sorts of other things is that you've really put a system in place that people can make it something that's more reliable, repeatable. Where would you tell folks to start in that process if they were thinking about creating more triggers in their business?
Yeah, a couple things about that, Nick. One, this really is the critically important part about this book and this premise. Like, you don't need Daniel and I to tell you that word of mouth is important. There's a bunch of good books about that already. Ted Wright's book is great. Andy Cernovitz's book is great. Emmanuel Rosen's book is great. Jonah Berger's book is great. I mean, there's several really good books about word of mouth. What this book does that those books do not, however, is give you an actual system, a step-by-step approach for how to do this in your business. So it's, yes, word of mouth is important, and here's how to do it yourself. It's the exact same system we use at Convince and Convert. We just took what we do for our clients and gave it away in book form. I'll tell you the worst way to create a talk trigger, and that's to get everybody in a conference room and brainstorm it, which is exactly how everybody tries to do it. And if it was that easy, you'd already have one. This requires anthropology. So our recommendation is the first thing you do is you document your customer journey. So figure out a customer journey map, all the touch points and inflection points that you have with your customer. Then do 3 batches of customer interviews. You want to talk to 5 or 6 of each of these. You want to talk to new customers. You want to talk to longtime customers. and you want to talk to lost customers. And those can either be customers that you had and then they defected, or customers that kind of got through your process, like you gave them a proposal or whatever, and they didn't sign. In each of those conversations, so you're talking about 15 to 18 conversations, ideally, what you are asking is, hey, at each of these steps in the process, what did you expect would happen? Because, Nick, once you know what your customers expect, you by definition know what they do not expect. And that gap, the difference between what they expect and what they don't expect, that's the gold. That's where your talk trigger lives. Because word of mouth is all about giving customers a story to tell. And we only tell stories that we don't expect. Look, I don't know everybody listening. I probably know some of your listeners. I know this for a fact, though. Nobody ever says, hey, let me tell you about a perfectly adequate experience I just had. Because that's a terrible story, right? So if you do what customers expect every time, there is no story there. It is not talkable. So the process is set up to help you discover something that they don't expect. And what's interesting about that, and what we find fascinating in the practical application of this as consultants, is that in many cases, the most mundane and perfunctory part of your operations can become the most talkable because people expect so little of it. The example in the book from the Graduate hotel chain, I think, illustrates this point. The Graduate has 15, 20 hotels all in college towns. Like every hotel in history, they have room keys that are plastic cards that you swipe by the thing and the light turns green to let you into the room. But unlike every other hotel whose room key is just a logo, the Graduate hotel room keys are the student ID cards of famous graduates of nearby universities. So in the Lincoln, Nebraska location, the room key is the ID of Gabrielle Union, the actress who went to school there, etc. So instead of throwing these cards away, as you typically do, people collect them like baseball cards. And the reason this is so useful is that it takes something that is so incredibly mundane, perfunctory, and boring, a hotel room key, and turns it into something that you don't expect. So don't think that the key to word of mouth is renting an elephant and walking it through your showroom. That's not a word of mouth strategy. That's a lottery ticket, and that's not what we're talking about here.
That's a real important distinction to make, because I also think that, and those are probably the type of things that come out of the back to your worst way,
yes,
brainstorms.
Yes. Let's just be wacky.
Yeah, the elephant, and you know, it's Hawaiian shirt day.
If that's what this book was about, we'd have an index of jugglers on the back that you could call. Like, that's not what this is.
Start right? Here.
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking for is a word of mouth strategy. Okay. Which means that it turns your customers into volunteer marketers, and it works every day, every week, every month, every quarter, and every year. Not something that's wowie-zowie and works for a week.
Jay's latest book is 300 pages of jugglers and sword swallower directories. So
called wowie-zowie.
Well, actually, and I love
that. That's the first time I've ever said wowie zowie on a podcast, by the way. I just want to mark. I'm going to go ahead and mark that on the recording because that could be some sort of an excerpt someday.
Note to self, Jay's added a new talk trigger, now says wowie zowie frequently.
Yeah.
We just got a graduate hotel here in Iowa City, and I think that, as you mentioned, that is a very talkable brand. And what's interesting, especially kind of coming back to hospitality, you look at, because, and what you were talking about of what people expect, and to me, it's almost like you have to look for a point of contrast that you can create. And we started with DoubleTree, where we've got, you know, the great big hospitality space. You've got all sorts of talkable brands that are repeatable in a very consistent way. But what's interesting about the Graduate hotels is they've taken that and they have also combined that with Place, which I think is a really interesting spin on that.
It is. And, you know, in so many cases, those are some of the most overlooked, you know, opportunities for us. I mean, it's the most honest, the most true, the most, I guess, authentic is one word to describe it. So it's very true.
I would be remiss as we get close to our time together here to point out that, there are talk triggers embedded in the book. You crafty marketers.
Wowie-zowie.
Damn it. How did I miss that opportunity for a wowie-zowie? But I think, you know, you've obviously eaten your own dog food, which anyone should do. But I think you talk about, nobody talks about something that, oh, that was just fair. And I think even the business book is something like that. And I love that you have embedded that in here. And the most obvious example, beyond all the stories, which are, is why, you know, a book about triggers yields this other awesome thing that you just mentioned, that everybody's coming up and talking to you about triggers. Mm. But the card, the tear-out cards in the back, because not unlike Dr. Snip and his knives, you know, we always are in the business world are passing on, you know what you should read next, you know what you should do, is our book referrals, and you've provided people with tactile things that they can tear out. And I think there's something wonderful and interactive when you can do something like that.
Yeah, those were fun to put together. And we've actually had pretty good reader feedback on them too. People have appreciated having that element in the book, which does, I mean, it sets it apart from the audiobook and the Kindle book for sure. It gives it a little bit different feel. Yep.
Well, the other thing, of course, is at the back of the book, you may notice, Nick, it says, satisfaction guaranteed. If you buy Talk Triggers and don't like it, go to talktriggers.com and send the authors, that's Daniel and myself, a note, and they'll buy you any other book of your choosing. And we will. That's one of our Talk Triggers. Yep. So if for some reason you don't like the book and you want any other book, a fine book from Nick Westergaard, a first edition Bible, whatever it is that you want, we will take care of it. And we absolutely will. That is one of our Talk Triggers, that there is no risk to purchasing this book, because not only will we refund your money, you could probably make money on the deal.
And I also have to point out that a Talk Trigger for this episode is that it features a photo with the two authors and an alpaca, which there are two on the cover of the book. Tell us the story of alpacas and Talk Triggers.
It's the alpaca origin story that we
exactly
once upon a time. Long time ago, it all started. Really, we got the first version of the cover of the book from the publisher. We looked at it together, and we're like, I'm not sure that this feels like a book about word of mouth. This just feels like a book. And so, we kind of played around with different concepts, and we ended up with the alpacas almost by accident. I actually designed it, and Jay, in a moment of weakness or a wowie zowie moment, was like, yeah, okay. And the same with the publisher. I think that some of them were on vacation, maybe, and they just snuck it through the system. So it ended up getting done. So the book has alpacas on it. We did a lot of videos with live, very smelly alpacas. And it's been a lot of fun, though. People have been talking about it.
Yeah, people send us alpacas now as speaker gifts, etc. It has become either a talisman or an albatross. I'm not certain which it is, but it is definitely noteworthy, and it's nice to have a theme, right? It's good to have good to have a hook.
Exactly. Yeah. And fun fact, not in the book, is that the two alpacas' names are Wowie and Zowie. So
that now they are.
episode
of the On Brand podcast, they definitely are.
Well, between from naming the alpacas to coming up with this butter-based business that someone will start.
The Butter Business Bureau is too good. It's really, really good.
We've accomplished so much in our time together. It's hard to believe that it's coming to an end. As we wrap up,
Thank God.
Oh, whew. I mean, you're going to cut that part out, right? My audible relief. As we wrap up, I always ask for a brand that has made you smile recently, which I imagine would be very top of mind, because it would probably be a brand with a trigger.
I'll take the first pass at that. And I will say it's a brand that solved a negative Talk Trigger, which is kind of an interesting way of looking at it. But I upgraded my internet at my home to a different internet provider, and I canceled my other one, which is an incredibly painful experience to do. But instead of sending me a check for the actual rebate or refund due, they sent me a card like a prepaid debit card with $16.19 on it. Have you ever tried to use a card like that in the in the wild? You cannot. No one will charge a card for $16.19. But I discovered actually that Amazon will let you buy a gift card for any specific amount over 50 cents, thereby saving my bacon. I was beyond delighted with Amazon at that moment.
Yeah,
because of that.
That is funny. Jay.
A brand that has made me smile recently. That is the assignment.
It is.
You know, I feel like sometimes what will make the customer smile is not always word of mouth or doing something, you know, that requires munificence or largesse, but just changing the business model a little bit and realigning the priorities. Because I was looking for a car recently, and I was at a place where the salesperson was not on commission, right? It's just a salaried employee at a Tesla dealership. And I got to tell you, obviously, the Tesla car buying experience is a little different anyway, because it's right. Like in a mall, mm-hmm. not a car deal. You know, it's a different vibe to begin with, and there's very few options. And so it's just different in that way. But it's so amazing to generally just kind of hang out and have a conversation with somebody who, yeah, is looking to sell you a car, but is sort of an advocate and an enthusiast first, and a salesperson second, because they have no skin in the game, right? They're not getting paid per transaction.
Right.
They're getting paid to perpetuate this brand. And just the difference of that interaction is just huge. And so from that perspective, really, really talkable. It's like, man, I would just like to hang out with this guy and talk Teslas, like not necessarily, let me go talk to my manager about whether I got to pay for the undercoating or whatever. It just really changes the entire psychology of the car buying process. And it made me smile for sure.
Awesome. Well, those are some great smiles by some talkable brands. Where can we go to learn more about Talk Triggers?
Wowie zowie. If you go to talktriggers.com, there are so many free resources there, Nick Westergaard. There are infographics. There are research reports. There are videos. There are group discussion guides. There are free PowerPoint presentations. There is an awful lot of stuff at talktriggers.com. We certainly hope you'll buy the book. And as mentioned, there is no risk in doing so. But there's so much free stuff there that, frankly, you could probably go there, roll around, download some stuff, and call it a day. But let's try to not do that.
Amazing. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Jay, Daniel, thank you for joining us.
The one thing that we've got to add to that site that we're working on is the differences between an alpaca and a llama. Yes. So we actually have that article written. We need to add it to the website because we've been asked that question a number of times. So we decided to actually turn it into content.
Well, now I got to ask, what is the difference? I can't, unless we want to save it for talktriggers.com.
Well, there are a number of differences, actually, in terms of their use case. Literally,
use case.
It's true. Llamas are pack animals. Alpacas are not, etc. Llamas are quite a bit bigger, quite a bit calmer. But the alpaca fur is really what they're all about. They're like... Alpacas are like a South American sheep, and a llama is more like a South American camel in terms of its use case.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we have even more to share with listeners this week.
See, it keeps on giving.
We have to stop there. We have to be done. There's no more. And now I've just devolved into sounding like a QVC. Mustache guy, but wait, I can't, Jay, I can't let you share any more of this.
How much would you pay?
Exactly. No,
the book's only $17.10 on Amazon or $8.55 on EasyPay.
Right. Yep. And we could also probably break that into four easy payments of
four 420 or whatever that is.
Yes, the trigger with this book is that it's sold only on television commercials with a blue screen and yellow phone number.
I'd love to try it.
Build it in, see what happens. You never know until you test it. Well, thank you both for joining us on Brand.
Thank you.
And a reminder, you can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.